Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
President Obama says he's going to deliver a speech about growing the economy. Yes, indeed he is. A thief posing as a schoolteacher breaks into an elementary school. And raptors and people floating on inner tubes are apparently destroying the Clackamas River.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when ye began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this. This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. A thief posing as a Westland Elementary School teacher tried to make off with $45,000 worth of stolen electronics, but was caught in the act, according to police. Westland police got a call after the security alarms at Bolton Elementary went off around 2 a.m., Officers said they confronted a woman walking from a car into the courtyard area, pulling a hand truck with a large flat-screen TV on it. Investigators said 31-year-old Christine Ann Grant identified herself as a teacher at the school, then changed her story after the school resource officer said he was going to confirm this with the school district. Westland Wilsonville Superintendent Bill Rhodes said, "This is why you shouldn't do these kinds of things. You're probably going to get caught."
What was she stealing?
Well, among the items she had on her hand truck, she had a large flat-screen TV. They also turned up that she had on her 35 digital cameras, 21 laptop computers, two video cameras, a media viewer, and paper and art supplies.
In other news, apparently the Westland School Department has a lot more money than we anticipated.
Yes, Westland, and I'll bet they still make parents buy their kids crayons.
A flat-screen TV, really?
Yes.
Bastards. All right.
Officer Mike Francis, who caught Grant, said, "It's really infuriating when you think about someone stealing from kids and stealing from a community."
I'm impressed that she was able to... There's no way you can get all these things on a hand car. That's a lie.
Well, here's a hint. They probably found a lot of the stuff already in her car. She was probably making trips back and forth. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. And she was arrested for aggravated theft and methamphetamine possession.
Oh, so she was motivated.
Yeah, so she...
A lot of pep.
She had the energy. She had the will. She had the drive.
Really, methamphetamine is a thief's best friend, I would
really
imagine.
Is.
I mean, maybe after a gun.
And also someone who is cleaning their house. I would know that.
And, you know, and really, as I think is obvious to anybody who's hearing this story, really, she should have just known, as with so many of these stories, She was undone by her own greed. She should have known when to call it a day.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the flat screen television, 35 cameras, the media viewer. You say, bam, I'm done. No need to go back for a bunch of Mead envelopes.
No.
That's a thing you can buy later on after you've sold, you know, sold the television to somebody.
Yeah, she already had apparently a car full of... You got the 21 laptops. You don't need to go back for the TV.
I mean, really, 19 laptops is probably enough. I mean, I'm just speaking from experience. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on this hour, you got your entertainment news, also science on the march. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Today, we got a Penis Watch, Geek Watch, and Miss Kelly Clark from Willamette Week will be joining us today. That is all coming up. Don't forget, if you want to get this program later on, you can get it via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia. Or legionofnews.com. Here is Don Taylor.
President Obama will give a major policy speech early next month.
Who?
President Barack Obama.
No, I'm not familiar.
Well, you should learn about him. He's our president.
Okay.
And his name is Barack Obama.
Well, if you say so.
President Obama will get... He's Irish.
Okay.
Will give a major policy speech early next month, laying out new proposals for job creation and cutting the nation's debt. A senior administration official told the Associated Press that the plan will likely include jobs-boosting infrastructure ideas, tax cuts, and steps specifically aimed at helping the nation's long-term unemployed. The official promises that all of Obama's proposals will be fresh ones, not a rehash of plans he has pitched for many weeks.
Is he going to get on the screen and just start drawing circles that slightly overlap and talk about if you have a network of friends and family who all then agree to purchase their detergent from you, and if they can then convince their neighbors to buy the detergent from them, and then he shows at the top how we all make $100 million a year within 6 months?
I think people would believe that.
Excellent.
I think they would. I do like, though, that the official said that these are going to be new ideas.
Not the same
old ideas he's been pushing
that
for a while.
That tired crap that we've been trying to spoon-feed everybody lately. That doesn't seem to be working, so
no.
We're going to ladle brand new crap over you.
During a speech in Atkinson, Illinois, he said it would be a balanced approach.
It doesn't require radical surgery for us to fix it. It just requires us all taking an approach that says we're a family and all of us are going to share a little bit in the burden.
He's talking about having his corns removed, I think.
I don't believe that's true at all, that it's not going to take any kind of radical surgery to fix our economy. I don't believe him one bit.
I wasn't really listening. I just heard surgery and radical and something or other, and then I started making jokes about ailments, and I started thinking, what's funny? Bunions? No. Shingles? No. Rabies? No. Scabies? No. Corns? Yes.
Scabies are funny.
Done. But it's not surgery there. That's just that's getting a different roommate.
Yeah. I like the idea, though, that it's not going to take, like, a huge amount. We just all have to, like, hug each other and hold hands.
Or maybe, you know, not spend more than we make.
Well, there is that. The president reiterated his belief that any plan to slash the country's deficit has to include tax reform.
I don't want a tax break, as lucky as I've been, if that tax break means that a senior citizen's going to have to pay an extra $6,000 for their Medicare.
You know, here's a little secret. No one's proposing giving him a tax break. That's one of those things that Democrats always say. Republicans are full of lies, and so are Democrats. And the Democrat one is that we're constantly talking about giving rich people tax breaks. It's just that we're talking about not increasing taxes. That's not the same thing. The thing that they were, like the thing like 8 months ago when they were like screaming about giving a tax break, you know, reinstating the Bush-era tax breaks. And what that really meant was they were not then going to raise taxes. It wasn't like they were going to be lowering anybody's taxes. That's just a little bit of newspeak that everybody kind of just swallows because that's what we do.
He is also expected to unveil a specific plan to cut the nation's national debt and to pay for his new short-term jobs-boosting ideas.
Does this involve selling our broken gold at a place on Lombard?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a place there that buys that, and I'm told they pay top dollar.
You know, DVDs are on the way out. I think, basically, if as a nation we all bound together and we sold our used DVDs to, say, India.
Could we just, like, maybe as a nation... attention, Onion, you can just have this headline if you like. Take it and make it sharper and funnier. Maybe as a nation, we could just move to the streaming-only option and not get the DVD sent to our house. Just, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, that'll get us maybe part of the way.
We could also make the selling of plasma mandatory.
The stealing of that, it's not really selling if it's mandatory.
Well, still, they'll still give you that $10 for the warm container of your bodily fluids. But the thing is, that stimulates the economy because that's $10 in your pocket you didn't have before.
Well, I had a nickel.
Yeah. The debt reduction plan will be larger than the $1.5 trillion package that Congress's super committee is tasked with finding by late November,
it's
according
an
to the officials.
Committee.
So he's saying, I'm going to be coming to you next month with this whole new magical special plan that I'm not telling you about yet. And it's going to be like bigger and better than the one that Congress says we have to do.
You can tell because it's from a super committee.
Right.
The Hella Committee meets next year.
Yeah. That, and I think that's what Obama is going to call his debt reduction plan, by the way, is Hella Reduction. The speech is expected shortly after.
Oh, my God. There needs to be a toy, like a punk toy called a Hella Kitty.
Hella Kitty.
Okay, somebody out there, some of my metal peeps, get on that. Hella Kitty. And then it's like a Hella Kitty with like a spiked wristband, you know, and like a real bad attitude.
Obama's economic team has been crafting the package since the debt ceiling debate ended earlier in the month, while much of the plan is still in flux, as in they haven't figured out what they're going to say yet. The debt proposal will be modeled on a $4 trillion plan to reduce the debt that Obama advocated for in April and the so-called grand bargain that he and John Boehner came close to striking last month. The rapper who is known as, they say the rapper, I say a rapper, known as The Game. Did you lose something?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Don't pretend like you care.
I do care, because your concerns are my concerns.
It's a lie, Don Taylor.
We're a team.
There aren't multiple rappers named The Game.
Okay. Well, it just says The Rapper, known as The Game, as if I should know who that is. The rapper known as The Game is under investigation after a tweet told his more than 580,000 followers to call the Compton Sheriff's Station, causing a clog up of dispatcher phone lines. The rapper, however, says that this was not his fault. The L.A. County Sheriff's Compton Station was overwhelmed with calls Friday after a tweet went out allegedly from The Game, whose real name is Jason Terrell Taylor. The tweet told followers to call for an internship with him, but the phone number was for the Compton Sheriff's Station.
The best part, his response was that he had, wait for it, been hacked.
Yes, of course.
I will almost guarantee you that's what he said.
The Sheriff's Department sent out its own tweet asking The Game to remove the number, to which the rapper responded, "Y'all can track a tweet down but can't solve murders. Dat was an accident, but maybe now y'all can actually do y'all job for explanation points. Hashtag I speak for the people."
Is this, by tracking the tweet down, they mean looking at the name next to it and seeing who sent it?
Yes.
That really is like, it's like a page out of Hercule Poirot.
It's just like solving a murder.
Really, honestly, Miss Marple somewhere is just smiling and nodding in approval.
Yeah. So
all right,
that happened.
It's Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, if you want to take this program with you on the road, perhaps as you go about your daily life seeking a path of religious fulfillment, you can do that at mobile.cascadia.fm via your smartphone, your handheld, your other device, your what have you, your Newton. It's mobile.cascadia.fm, your Palm Pilot, mobile.cascadia.fm, or your other U.S. robotics device. Here is Don Taylor.
Neighbors complain that this year rafters and tubers are leaving a bigger...
This is the rafter or a rafter?
This is rafters, plural.
Okay.
This is many rafters.
Just checking.
Rafters, known as the inner tubers, are leaving a bigger mess along the Clackamas River. Jill Dess, from her deck overlooking the river, says, "This is probably one of the worst years it's been." And then she smoked her cigarette and tut-tutted. Bottles and cans litter the river's edge from Barton to Carver Creek. Deesa said, "They act like this is their garbage pit, and I'll yell down, 'Hey, this is my backyard,' but it doesn't do any good."
Were you just talking like Jar Jar Binks just there?
No, I was just talking about Jill Dessie,
okay,
who is rich and owns a house that overlooks the river and likes to stand on her deck and yell at people in inner tubes that it's her backyard.
Not at people at ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah. Deputy Nate Thompson of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office says, "We focus on the problem spots where people stop and congregate and make sure there's not a lot of littering going on. People should just be more aware of their surroundings and their environment." Free trash bags, by the way, are available at the parks.
So what is it? This is people on they're rafting from one place to the other, and in the interim, they go, you know, so they go past that place, and then they're what? They're just tossing crap out of their boat.
Yeah, I think people on big giant rafts and people who are floating on big giant inner tubes and just hanging out on the river all day are just tossing empty beer cans and food wrappers and things out, and they're washing up on the shore.
It's like an underwater landfill.
Yeah, kind of.
Why did God put big holes there if he didn't want us to fill them with garbage?
Huh.
I mean, honestly.
It'll all break down and go back to the earth eventually.
Seriously, I mean, as will we all. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, us, trash bags, cans, you know, dolphins, all of us,
back to mulch, Don. That's really, we're all just future compost, really, when you think about
it. Ashes to ashes, et cetera, et cetera.
The thing about it is, if you want to live someplace where people aren't just tossing stuff away, you could just move to someplace flat where it's impossible to, it's impossible to find land. You just move to Oklahoma, and you won't have any of these problems. You'll have a brand new set of problems, but these problems will effectively be gone. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
A vineyard manager discovered a long-lost pioneer cemetery in Salem, hidden underground for many years.
Wait until me understand this. It was a cemetery hidden underground, you say?
I do indeed.
That was clever of them. Where should we put these bodies? Should we hang them in the trees? Shall we float them from balloons? Shall we just have them spinning around on top of the buildings like windsocks? No. Underground for the bodies.
Well, I think not only the bodies were underground, but also the headstones were now underground as well.
Are you sure there were actually headstones there?
Well, he says he was planting a vineyard in Salem when he discovered three headstone bases. He stopped planting and he preserved the site. The property, it turns out, was originally owned by Daniel Waldo, who's very difficult to find, an early Oregon Trail settler.
Don't do that.
Justin and one of Waldo's descendants, Brian Johnson, heard stories about a cemetery on the property, but no one had ever been able to find it. The discovery surprised Johnson. He said, "It was a big surprise. I thought it was lost forever. I was elated." Johnson visited the site Tuesday and said he was anxious to figure out who was buried there. He was sure one of the people had to be George Beale, a man who was hanged in 1865. He had been told that Waldo allowed Beale to be buried there because no one else wanted to take the convicted murderer's body. Based on the vineyard's actions, heritage programs with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, which houses the Historic Cemeteries Program, presented Ken Johnston and Winemakers Investment Properties LLC, which is his company, I guess, with an Oregon Heritage Stewardship Certificate Award. So he was planting his vineyard, found an old cemetery. Everyone said, hooray, because I guess that's a really awesome thing.
So this is quite literally where they left the bodies and just moved the headstones. This isn't like one of those things where I just reference it because it's a thing. This actually was the case. It really did happen. That's pretty awesome, actually.
And now he can never actually grow grapes there because his wine will be haunted.
Well, no, how great is this wine now? I mean, it's already got its own backstory. It's already got its own, the label possibilities, the naming possibilities, this sort of overall aesthetic could spring from the fact that they found this lost cemetery somewhere near the property. Maybe not where they're actually growing the grapes, or at least that's not what you'd tell people. But, in the general vicinity.
But then when you open the bottle and the spirits of the dead come out, who wants that?
I think I speak for a lot of people when I say me.
Really? You want to? Okay.
I mean, you're telling me.
Talk to your wife first about whether she wants your home infested with the spirits of the dead.
I mean, not unless they're going to charge me a lot more for it. I mean, if it's going to come as, part of the regular price of the wine itself, I mean. Look, how many boxes of Cracker Jacks did I buy when I was a kid because I wanted that little plastic pinball thing, and instead I just got, like a bad tattoo of a dragon, you know? I mean, if you could tell me that I actually get a spook or specter coming out of my wine, hey,
okay.
So much the better for me. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson Radio Program is next hour at rickemersonshow.com, where you, yes, you, unless you're broke, can be entertained for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. And really, even if you don't have that, you could probably mug somebody, or steal from a family member, or just beat someone savagely and threaten to continue to do it unless they pay for your subscription to the Rick Emerson Show.
You could stand by a freeway overpass with your sad-looking dog and a sign saying, need money to listen to Rick Emerson.
Well, because then you presumably need the phone as well, or at least a steady internet connection. It's not the sort of thing you can get on dial-up, regrettably. We've moved past that time. I'm just saying, not unlike the Catholic Church, we don't care where the money comes from. Gambling, whoring, flat-out murder, doesn't matter. We don't care, as long as you pay us. So that's 32 cents a day, or the low cost of just $6.99 a month at Rick Emerson Show. .com. And by the way, for the several people who've asked about this, yes, our interview with Breaking Bad's Betsy Brandt happened yesterday. It was fantastic. That is up in the archives at rickemersonshow.com as of now. Here is Don Taylor.
The Texas Republican Governor Rick Perry visits New Hampshire for the second time since entering the presidential race over the weekend. At a breakfast gathering on Wednesday, Perry responded to a comment by President Obama suggesting that he watch what he say.
Actions speak louder than words. My actions as governor are helping create jobs in this country. The president's actions are killing jobs.
A stitch in time saves nine.
I honestly thought he was like falling asleep.
He speaks really slowly
during his own statement.
He's not a very convivial speaker.
He sounded like he was nodding off at the end there. Perry said Texas has thrived under certain key principles while he's been in office.
Principle number one is don't spend all of the money. And number two is have a tax structure in place that is as low as you can keep it and still be able to deliver the needed service.
I got like three thoughts here. One is, he sounds sort of like a guy that Matthew McConaughey will play when he's about 15 years older. Two, I don't like to say this because they're nice people, but I don't know if they're my in-laws or not. Let me ask you this. So my brother is married to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
So her parents are his parents-in-law?
Right.
But are they my in-laws as well?
I don't think so.
So my brother's wife's parents,
right,
they are not my in-laws?
I don't think so.
I don't know how that works. I never know where we end that.
Yeah.
Like, if that's a thing that we stop at, like, once removed or twice removed. Anyway, they're really nice people. And I don't mean that in, like an Eddie Haskell kind of way. They really are truly very nice, very sweet, charming people. God damn, do they talk slow. And they just take these long, like NPR-length pauses when they're talking. And so I'll just, you know, sitting there at the table. And the thing is, they're really stinking rich, too. And so you just sit there. And so it's like, you know, so it's already just like a weird, uncomfortable environment to me because, like, everything in the house is expensive and I'm afraid of moving because I'll break something or whatever. And everything they wear just seems to be made of, like, the most, from some dazzling white sheep that we're not allowed access to for our clothing. Like, all my stuff just comes out of the trash, basically. Like, I'm just wearing clothes from a dumpster. And it's like they look like they just bounded in from a Pepsodent ad that took place inside a tennis game at Jimmy Connor's house in 1977. But we'll be talking and we'll be sitting there in the kitchen and they'll say, "So, Rick, how's the radio show going?" And then you're never quite sure when they're done. You're kind of bobbing back and forth like Ali, you know, just waiting to duck in, like waiting to see where the opening is. And then just as you start to open your mouth to respond, it's like then you realize they're not even like a third of the way into the sentence. Because I heard recently that you almost want to just like wake me when you're done. Just give me like a good jostle when it's time to speak.
Yeah, in Tina Fey's book, she talks about how she was with Second City in Chicago and got the opportunity to talk to interview with Lorne Michaels to become a writer on SNL. And somebody who had worked there said, "Okay, whatever you do when you're talking to Lorne, don't interrupt him. He takes these huge pauses in the middle of sentences and just wait it out. Don't interrupt him." And so, sure enough, she said the first thing he says to her is like, "So, you're from..." And she just sat there for like 14 seconds and then finally said, "Michigan." At exactly the same time he said, "Chicago." And she's like, "Oh, crap. Now he's never going to hire me."
Awesome. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up in like 4 seconds more of Don Taylor. 3, 2, 1.
So speaking of Rick Perry, the treasurer of Stephen Colbert's Super PAC resigned last week to take a job with Rick Perry's presidential campaign. Political reports that the man in question, Salvatore Purpura, has served as treasurer for numerous political action committees over the years, and his resume includes a strong conservative tilt, including jobs with George Bush's 2004 re-election campaign and John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign. Colbert created his Americans for a Better Tomorrow committee earlier this year and has used it and the unlimited sums of money it is legally allowed to spend to lampoon much of the campaign process. One of his first stunts was urging Iowans last week to support Rick Perry with an A in the straw poll. Purpura said, "Obviously, there was a potential conflict of interest of working with both Colbert and taking his new job as Perry's treasurer." Colbert wrote an email to Politico, "We're not surprised. Sal is the best in the business. That's why we went with him. We're happy for Sal, and we're even happier that Governor Perry has sent the clear signal of which super PAC he trusts to receive all that unlimited money waiting to pour in on his behalf. Loud and clear, sir." Unofficially, loud and clear.
You know, a guy named Sal is always your best bet. Really, if you need something done right, you need it done the first time, you need somebody handled, perhaps, a guy named Sal is always the person you want to speak to.
All you have
to
do is say, "Sal, take care of this."
No, it doesn't matter who it is.
And it's done.
What field of what area of your life, you know, what manner of skill he needs to have, Sal is the guy you talk to.
A Salt Lake County girl ended her 14th birthday in protective custody after her father allegedly punched her because she tried to stop him from fighting during her birthday party Sunday in Big Cottonwood Canyon. The man, 42, had been drinking and fighting with guests at the girl's birthday party at Storm Mountain in Big Cottonwood Canyon. According to Unified Police Lieutenant Manfred Lassig, the man threatened the guests with a fire poker, a knife, and a beer bottle. The girl tried to intervene, the 14-year-old girl whose birthday party this was, and the man punched her. And when she tried to intervene a second time, he punched her again. The man was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault and child abuse. The girl was placed in protective custody.
Worst birthday ever.
A Spokane County Sheriff's deputies have arrested a 54-year-old man after he was spotted fishing naked Sunday on West Medical Lake. Medical Lake does not sound like a nice place at all.
Well, it's not a nice place, but not for the reason that it sounds like. I mean, Medical Lake, it sounds like you're being asked to float down like the Love Canal or something, you know, or like, you know, like enjoy a beautiful 3 mile island pond.
It sounds like it'll just be full of used hypodermic needles and old condoms.
No, Medical Lake is a bad place, but it's called that because it's Medical Lake. See, the reality is like worse, but in a different way. It's not called Medical Lake because it's just filled with toxic sludge. I mean, it probably is, but only to the extent that the entire world is. It's called Medical Lake because it's on the shores, or at least it used to be on the shores of a mental asylum. So, you know, so there's that. So you don't really have to worry about the syringes so much as you have to worry about the ch-ch, you know. So it's...
Well, that particular place, a father was fishing with his two young sons, and he complained after he spotted 54-year-old Dean H. Meganis fishing completely naked. He said the man stood up in full view of the children as their boat moved down the lake. Sheriff's deputies arrived and told the man to put on clothing, and he donned a pair of light-colored shorts and continued fishing. But deputies also ran a check on his name and discovered Meganis has an outstanding warrant for stalking. Meganis was arrested on the warrant and also for indecent exposure. He was previously convicted for indecent exposure in 2009, which made Sunday's arrest a felony.
Okay, here's another great idea. Now, this is fresh from the company that brought you, and by company I mean my brain, that brought you Hello Kitty. Okay, there ought to be some sort of edgy winter wear for young people, perhaps those ruffian snowboarders, stocking caps. You got your gloves, you got your boots, you got your stocking cap, but the deal is, when you pull the stocking cap down over your face, there's just another face on the front of it, but a scary one. I'm telling you, that would sell, right?
Yes, it would.
You've seen, you know, like the ski masks you wear, like if you're whatever, you know, and it's got the cutouts for the eyes and the whatever. And, you know, that's become so synonymous with a certain kind of, you know, portrayal of crime or criminal or whatever. This, though, it's not just like, you know, like a unit, like a solid color, like with a snowball thing on top, but then cutouts for the eyes. There is actually then just like there are other facial features around the eye and mouth holes, but like not your face.
Does anybody make those full head ski masks that look like luchadore masks? Because that would be cool.
Well, I mean, I've seen those. I don't know if they're, like, mass marketed, but you can buy those online. Like, I think Etsy or someplace has those.
Because that would be pretty neat.
Yeah, that's a thing you can get.
Okay. Let's do our science news.
Stocking cap is what they're called.
Stocking cap.
Stocking cap. All right. Let's see. What are we doing here? Here's your Science on the March brought to you by, yes, Squires Electric. You can find them at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. Hold on. Going to write this down so I can trademark it later today. Stocking cap. Awesome. Also have a science question to ask you in a moment. And by you, I mean...
Someone other than me, probably.
Well, no, I'll ask you, but nobody will really expect you to answer.
Okay. I'll answer. I'll just be wrong.
You'll be a conduit. You'll be a mechanism by which I reach the outside world. Brought to you by Squires Electric, 503-252-1609, or online at squireselectric.com. You can also go to facebook.com/Squires Electric. I guess I don't really have to say facebook.com/ anymore, because they actually have the, you know, it's like, it is that. So if you just type it in, you'll find them. Facebook has Squires Electric there. If you go there and you click the like button, we would be indebted to you. We'd be obliged. Much obliged if you would do that for us. And while you're there, you can read unsolicited testimonials, find out what Squires Electric has done for some of your compatriots, colleagues, comrades, and brothers in arms. They can come to your home, they can come to your business, they can deal with all of your wiring issues, whether it's the installation first time around, if you're building your dream house, if you are building a business, if you're going to be remodeling a place, if you're going to be expanding, you're going to be repairing something. I don't know if there's been... If there's been an F5 finger of God tornado that's come and laid waste to the whole joint, you want to get it taken care of again, Squires Electric can deal with all of that, and they can give you an estimate up front so you know about what it's going to cost you. Squires Electric, proud sponsors of this, although proud may be overstating it slightly. Your Science on the March. Here's Don Taylor.
Giardia lamblia, a waterborne protozoan that's responsible for a gut-wrenching disease, also has sophisticated swimming skills, according to engineers at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. In the August 1st proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they report that this germ has four pairs of paddling flagella, but each pair moves differently to fine-tune its movement. They have analyzed them by taking videos of them and watching how they move. Moreover, much of the bug's major propulsion comes not from its you know, little flappy oars, but from wave-like motions in its tail end. The findings, after studying this protozoa, could inspire new propulsion systems for micro-robots in nanomedicine. They also suggest ways to block the germ's attachment to the human gut.
What's it called?
That it would be the Giardia lamblia.
Okay. It's married to Intercontinental Bucks.
Yes. Next time the warning lights on your car's dash send you into a tizzy, and the automotive gobbledygook in the owner's manual has you pulling out your hair on the side of the road. God, I hate people who write like this. Try talking directly to your car and have it troubleshoot for you. Researchers at the Technical University of Munich, along with engineers at Audi, have designed avatar-based virtual co-driver system, AVACOS, that helps steer distressed drivers in the right direction when problems arise.
Is AVACOS like a virtual Bill Cosby who appears? Your car doesn't seem to be working.
You're going in the wrong direction. You need, yeah. I don't do Bill Cosby. Displayed in the middle of the dashboard, the Audi multimedia interface comes standard on all new Audi models. The avatar is hyper-communicative, understands complete sentences, and responds to questions in a spoken language. It also can pick up on the tone of your voice and speech rhythm to detect if a driver is flustered. If so, the system reduces the amount of animated output on the monitor in an effort to calm the driver.
What does hyper-communicative mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think
that
it
doesn't
anything.
Mean anything.
No, I don't think it means anything. On-screen videos and images also help guide drivers through their questions. With a simple touch, the system's touch-and-tell mode provides drivers with extensive background information on unfamiliar car functions. Helmut Kremer, chair of the München Institute of Business Informatics, said in a press release, "This is a tool to explain control elements in a quick and easy hands-on way. It is particularly useful in unfamiliar vehicles. To prohibit drivers from engaging in more distractions on the road, AVACOS's animations and graphics shut down as the car increases speed. However, in this mode, the avatar is still available only through voice communication."
So this is a really handy device like the GPS they have in many cars that actually doesn't work anytime you really need it, like when you're driving. So you have to pull over to the side of the road and completely stop the car before you can use the GPS at all. That's always a nice
touch.
And also in this one, the more
upset you get. Like, holy crap, I don't know where I am. Tell me where I am. Please calm down, Rick. Please calm down. I'm going to stop flashing the pretty lights at you.
It's totally
so
going to be
you can calm down.
One of those Eddie your shipboard computer things, too, where it just becomes more and more irritating as you become more and more annoyed, you know, because it tries to be relentlessly sort of, what can I do to make your day better? How can I assist you? You seem a little bit upset. Do you need help of some kind? Would you like a seltzer? You know, and you just, meanwhile, you just want to figure out how to get to the store, and the thing won't talk to you. All right.
Portland State University unveiled a free hub yesterday, Tuesday, for electric vehicles called Electric Avenue. Southwest Montgomery Street between Southwest Broadway and Southwest 6th Avenue now has charging stations allowing students and visitors to charge up their electric cars and bicycles. It's a result of a two-year research partnership between PSU, Portland General Electric, and the City of Portland. PGE CEO Jim Pyro said, "They use about the same as household clothes dryers, so it's not a lot of usage. These will typically be charged at night when people come home from work, and in the evening time we have a lot of excess generation, so we won't have to build any more generation plants."
I think generation isn't really a word the way he's using it there. A generation plant, it's just a generator. It seems like he's adding a word there that isn't necessary.
Well,
also, what does he mean they're going to be charged when people come home at night? It's at the school. Oh, he's saying they won't have to use that much energy during the day,
right?
Because they're also charging it at home. Like, I have a cell phone charger here at the office, but also at home.
Yeah, the charging stations will recharge at night, mostly recharge at night when people aren't using them. And in the evening, he says they have a lot of excess generation, so they won't have to build any more of them.
And nobody's having to do their full charge at the school, though, is the other.
Yeah, usually.
The people are charging the car when they get home. You know, Jay Leno actually was... Don't even ask me why I know this, because it's a long, ridiculous story. So Jay Leno was in town over the weekend, and he was at it's called the Allure of the Automobile exhibit, which is at the Portland Art Museum. And, you know, he's a huge car freak. So he was in town, and I don't think it was like in aid of anything. I think he actually was just, he was either passing this way anyway, or he heard about the exhibit and wanted to come see, because there was a lot of, I don't know if they had something that was especially interesting there, something you can't see anywhere else. But he was there, and they were talking to him about that. He has one of the Chevy Volts. And as much as I sometimes snort at the idea of, you know, of a better mousetrap, or, you know, a truly fuel efficient car like that goddamn Prius thing, which is just like one of the biggest scams ever perpetrated on the public. But he has a Chevy Volt, which he said he purchased in December and has put gas in once since then, and it's got 8,000 miles on it.
Wow, that is good.
So, I mean, and, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe that's a thing. Maybe he is boiling it down to a non-representative degree, or he's oversimplifying it some way. But that, but from everything I have heard about that car, it really does seem to be the real deal.
Well, there are 7 charging stations in this area over at PSU, and a quick charge station where students and visitors can plug in and charge up electric cars, trucks, bicycles, and motorcycles. Free charging is sponsored by PSU. Oregon and Washington are working on an initiative to install charging stations all along Interstate 5, and by the end of the year, an electric vehicle should be able to travel the 580 miles from the southern border of Oregon all the way to Canada.
If they could make one that, like, Red Dawn style just runs on your whiz, though, how great would that, like, as a backup? Like, you wouldn't want that as the primary mechanism of travel, because that would be embarrassing. But, I mean, if you absolutely had to, because then you're always carrying your spare gallon with you.
I'm nowhere near a charging station. I'd better drink this giant iced tea.
Exactly. Then a big bottle of Gatorade becomes your backup plan for getting somewhere.
And it's still cheaper than gasoline.
And it's a lot safer to carry around in the trunk. Oh, and I forgot about this. I should have mentioned this. This is not why I mentioned it just now, but so our friend Thomas Gill actually helped to design the powertrain of the Volt.
Oh.
So there you go.
Is there nothing he does not have his fingers in?
No, really, Sophie, as if you needed additional reasons to purchase that car.
You know, he's running for city council in his town.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, he did that. Did he do that again? Did he do that last year as well?
Yeah, he's run before. But yeah, he's running again this year.
Dude, you should have told me. We could crush that other guy. I don't even know. I don't care who he is. We will have him taken care of. He will rue the day that he ran against you, sir.
He could have used some help in his candidate interview statements, because I read through his stuff of where they asked the questions about what would you do about this problem, what would you do about that.
Come off as too smart?
He's super, super smart.
Oh, you got to hide that.
And no humor. You got to throw a few jokes in.
No, you got to speak down to the common man, sir. You can't let them, don't let them know that you're intelligent. That frightens most people off.
No, he said way too smart.
Let's see. Listener John says, I saw one of those Chevy Volts here at work. He says they're a nice looking car, and by that I mean they don't look like a goddamn Prius or an Insight.
No, so they're nice. I would drive one if I could afford one.
I don't think I actually even know what they look like. I'm going to look one up right now. Here's Don Taylor.
Fat dogs tend to be colder than lean dogs, according to a new study that identifies a possible relationship between weight gain and body temperature. The findings, recently published in the International Journal of Obesity, could apply to humans and other mammals as well, according to the authors. Individuals who have a tendency to be cold may therefore be more susceptible to weight gain. The entire process appears to happen internally. Roberto Raffinetti, a professor of psychology and associate dean at the University of South Carolina, Salkehatchee, led the study. Said, we don't fully know the causes of the obesity epidemic that the U.S. is experiencing. One possible cause that hasn't been studied is the relationship between a lower body temperature and obesity. He and his team compared the rectal temperatures of 287 dogs over several years. That's a great job. They found that larger dogs have lower body temperatures than smaller dogs. Since size can be tied to the particular breed of dog and other factors, the scientists next focused on weight, and they determined that among canines of the same height and length, obese dogs have lower body temperatures than lean dogs. Most humans and other animals gain weight because they accumulate fat. That occurs when they take in more energy than they expend. The unused energy is stored as fat. So they believe that it's possible obesity could partially result from a less obvious reduction in energy expenditure, a reduction in body temperature. Warm-blooded animals like humans and dogs spend much of their energy generating heat to keep the body warm. However, some animals have body temperatures that are naturally lower and don't need to use as much energy to stay warm.
I lost track of this story like three sentences, and I'm so confused. When you say that they have lower body temperatures, do you mean they have lower body temperatures as a baseline, and then that's why they have to accrue body fat to compensate for that?
No.
Or they have more body fat and yet somehow inexplicably still have a lower body temperature?
It's more a matter of burning more energy to keep a hot fire stoked, if that makes sense.
It doesn't, because they have a cooler fire.
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying. It's the opposite of that. It's they don't have to burn as much energy because their body temperature isn't as hot.
So they're not burning off the fuel. It's just sticking around.
Yeah.
It's like laying in a cord of wood every winter, but you only use a third of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I naturally have a low body temperature, and I'm fat, so there might be something to that.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I think that's just called being frigid, Don.
I do take issue with the thing, though, that they said that, you know, feeling cold. Because if you have a lower body temperature, you actually have more of a problem with heat than with cold because you adapt to cold slightly better.
I'm back to being confused.
Okay. That's all the science.
Okay. That's not all the science because here's a question I had.
Okay.
Or should I save this for next hour?
No, ask now. We're in science. The folks love to hear us bat around the science.
I should actually wait because we're at 12:40 now. So let's see.
Or according to the clock on the wall, we're just a big black circle of doom.
Well, you kept getting confused by the clock. So I had to just remove. It's like, you know.
Couldn't you have just brought a new battery for it?
Well, I've got a clock.
Oh, okay.
Got a clock right in front of me. In fact, I've got two. I've actually, that's a lie. I've got one, two, three, four. I have four clocks within a foot and a half of me. I'm fine. I'm taken care of.
All right.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. That has been your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at squireselectric.com or on Facebook, and you can call 503-252-1609. Please tell them you heard it here, won't you please? They are proud sponsors of Science on the March, Legion of News, and of the Emerson News Network. Here's Don Taylor.
A Taco Bell worker was arrested in Dalton, Georgia on Wednesday night after he handcuffed another employee to himself in the restaurant parking lot. On Monday night, 24-year-old Jason Dean pulled up next to the 18-year-old woman in the Georgia restaurant's parking lot and handcuffed himself to her wrist. She called for help and several other employees ran outside and talked Dean into letting her go. Dean had been trying to go out with the woman for several weeks and employees had even changed her shift so she could avoid him. Dalton State College campus police arrested Dean 2 days later with the handcuffs in his possession. Dean, who is believed to be a volunteer firefighter in Dalton, was charged with false imprisonment, which is a felony. Two former nursing assistants in Ukiah, California, have been sentenced to 20 days in jail for allegedly orchestrating a prank that involved coating dementia patients with ointment so they would be slippery for workers on the next shift.
I'm sorry. Where was this at?
Ukiah, California.
Well, I don't know if anybody's ever been to Ukiah, but it's not a place where there's a lot of fun happening most of the time, so one must entertain oneself. That's awesome.
The Press Democrat of Santa Rosa said that Monica Rose Smith and Jennifer Louise Burton also were sentenced Tuesday to 2 years probation for misdemeanor elder abuse. Three other defendants had previously received community service for their roles in the November 2009 incident at Valley View Skilled Nursing Home.
That is so great.
Five people involved also had their state nursing assistant licenses revoked. The Mendocino County District Attorney says none of the seven patients who were layered head to foot in the ointment were injured.
Do they know what kind of ointment it was?
It doesn't say.
Really?
No.
Okay. Because that really makes all the difference. I mean, if you're just coating somebody in Gold Bond, then that's one thing. If you're coating somebody in, if you're coating somebody in Cheese Whiz.
Well, it's a nursing home, so it was probably something that they would have for medical reasons. So it was either petroleum jelly, probably, or KY jelly.
Or it's just that stuff they put on the paddles before they yell clear.
Which is KY jelly.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Why do they do that?
Because that way it doesn't stick and it's not as, I don't know, they do that. They also use it when they give you an ultrasound.
You got further into that than you normally do before you just pulled the ripcord, though.
I thought I knew, and then suddenly I realized, I don't know.
Okay.
When you get an ultrasound, though, they go splurt, and they splurt that on you, and then they move the giant thing around on you. And the sonar waves go weep, 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 and it figures out what's inside of you.
Okay.
I'm going to stop.
Are you talking about how they make babies? Because this is,
no,
I think you're confusing
babies, how they,
a few
how
different
they
things.
See babies
okay.
later.
It sounded.
After they've been made elsewhere.
From over here, it seemed like it could have been one or the other.
All right.
Hey, you know, in Oregon, they'll give you $5,000 if you buy a Chevy Volt. They will give you a $5,000 rebate on that.
How much do they cost, though?
Well, no.
You'd have to have the rest of the money.
They're still expensive. They're still expensive. But, I mean, that's kind of impressive. I didn't know that. If you buy a Chevy Volt, the government effectively gives you a $5,000 rebate on that.
If they only cost $5,000, I would totally do that.
Yeah, that's the irony, is that the, The irony, of course, that is... never mind. We're done. We'll just
if you
can
afford to buy one, you probably don't need the extra $5,000.
Well, that's one of the things. Yeah, is it like... I mean, because the people who are more likely to buy these things to be early adopters are just, you know, it's just a bunch of Portland Opera types.
Can afford to put gas in their damn cars.
Well, honestly, and they're also the most inclined to not care about the environment, too. So that's... Once you get to that income level, you only go one of two ways. You either just become some full-on Ed Begley, or you just go the other way, where you're just literally looking for the car with the largest carbon footprint. Like, you know, they should actually just have, like, a huge SUV called the Carbonator. And all it does is just destroys ozone at, like, a 50 times greater rate than other cars. I would almost buy that just to, you know, just to annoy people. You know, just to drive it around, like, every other week or so, just to sort of vex my fellow man.
Just park it somewhere and sit in it just to watch people scowl at you?
Carbonator. Yeah, just, like, sit in my driveway and just let it run for, like, an hour at a time. Not even go anywhere. Just sit on the lawn in a chair reading a book while letting it just idle next to me. Carbonator. Excellent. I'm going to write that down. That's right after the Hello Kitty and the stocking caps.
Yeah, okay. You're full of ideas today.
I really am, Don. Yeah, today.
U.S. students are far behind many of their European and Asian counterparts when it comes to student achievement, though, according to a new Harvard study. Professor of Government Paul Peterson says 32 is a magic number. It's a magic number.
That's a goddamn lie. 9 is a magic number.
Yeah. No, 3 is a magic number.
No, it's 9.
Man and a woman had a little baby. There were 3 in a family. It's a magic number. Schoolhouse Rock.
9 is the magic number. Don't make me look it up.
Yeah.
How much do you want to bet me?
It's 3 from Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay. If that's what you want to say, if that's how you want to face your fellow Gen Xers or whatever you are.
Go ahead, look it up.
You're not a Gen Xer.
Okay. No, I'm not.
What are you?
I'm a wobbly.
Are you one of those embarrassing like tween isn't that what they call the tweeners, like between Xers and boomers?
Sure, something like that, I think.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, what are we playing here?
32 is a magic number when it comes to math proficiency.
All right. This is Math 1.
That's the percentage of students in the United States that are proficient in math, 32. And 32 is our rank in the world out of 65 countries that took the PISA test.
This is awesome. This guy sounds exactly like the kind of guy who would study those numbers and really, really take them, and really, really pay close attention to them.
By the way, Google supports me. 3 is a magic number, Schoolhouse Rock.
Were you talking about Schoolhouse Rock, or are you talking about, like, the actual, like, the thing that they teach you in school about that?
No, I was talking about Schoolhouse Rock. I even sang you the song.
Okay.
Peterson says there was one standout state.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this. How is 3 a magic number without looking at the thing?
I don't know. It was just from the song. They said it was a magic number.
See, now, but that doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense at all.
They also had a song about a talking bill on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, but that was explaining the mechanism of how a bill becomes a law. Like, I can tell you, like, and I'll sort of take you at your word that the song says 3 is a magic number. I mean, if it did, it did. But that doesn't make any sense because 9 is a magic number.
Well, according to the School Rock, the House Rocks people. And granted, 3, you know, 3 times 3 is 9, so maybe 9 is even more magical.
Is that the only, is that the reason they're doing it? Is because 3 is because you multiply 3 by itself to get 9?
Maybe.
Well, it's not really a magic number. Then it's the sort of, then it's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You know? Then it's not really, it's just sort of, it's the sort of sidekick to the magic number.
You know, there were a bunch of, like,
sidekick?
There were a bunch of jingle writers and jazz guys and hippies. And they were, like, writing songs about numbers. They also wrote a song saying that, like, conjunctions were a train. I mean, you take what you got with Schoolhouse Rock.
No, because I've moved beyond, like, thinking, you know, like, saying that I'm right about it, because I'm obviously not. But now I'm on the next, I've moved to the next plane of my mental existence today, which is a legitimate curiosity. Okay, I'm going to Google 2 things back to back. 9 is a magic number. Okay, and that gets us 16,000 results. And then 3... Obviously, you get a lot more because the school has rock. Yeah, so that's like a multiple. That's like 10 times that many. Okay, so I have to look up later on exactly why that is. I'm sorry. So this math, what is the second cut here?
This is, hold on. I kind of lost track. I have many things.
Fail.
Second track, Peterson says there was one standout rate.
Massachusetts.
Rate?
State.
Read this again with the words that are on the page.
Peterson says there was one standout state.
Do we know what state it is?
Massachusetts.
Okay.
Massachusetts is the state that comes in number 1, and Minnesota comes in number 2, and California and New York are way down the list, well below average.
Wow, we should have sound bites from him every day.
He is awesome.
A thunderbolt is what he is.
Peter says, raising student achievement in the U.S. could help grow the U.S. economy.
Is this Math 3?
Yes.
Nah, I'm not going to play it.
Okay.
Right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It is 12:47 Pacific time here on Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. Coming up next hour after a brief musical interlude, it is the Rick Emerson radio program. Today we got the Peanuts Watch Geek Watch coming up. Also, Ms. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. And don't forget, you can find that at rickemersonshow.com, and you can also take it with you as you go at mobile.rickemerson.com. Here is Don Taylor.
It's time for entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday, August 17th, here at Legion of News. Behold the amusement.
Kevin Federline has bred once again. Britney Spears' ex-husband welcomed his first child with girlfriend Victoria Prince. His new baby girl, named Jordan, was born on Monday. Federline and volleyball player Prince have been dating since 2008. Federline has four other children, two of them, 5-year-old Preston and 4-year-old Jaden with Spears, and two more, 10-year-old Corey and 7-year-old Caleb with ex-girlfriend Shar Jackson. An airline passenger says her Paris to Dublin flight was delayed nearly 2 hours after celebrated French actor Gérard Depardieu urinated on the plane ahead of takeoff. France's Europe 1 radio aired an interview with the passenger, identified only of her, by her first name, Danielle, saying that Depardieu appeared inebriated and announced, quote, "I need to piss, I need to piss." The passenger said when the cabin crew told him to remain seated during takeoff, he stood up and urinated on the ground. A spokeswoman for CityJet, the Dublin-headquartered airline that operated the Tuesday evening flight, confirmed the incident had taken place, but spokeswoman Karen Gillow said Wednesday privacy issues prevented her from naming the passenger who was escorted off the plane along with his two traveling companions and their luggage. One of France's most famous actors, Gérard Depardieu, 62, has appeared in more than 150 films, including 1986's Jean de Fleurette and 1990's Cyrano de Bergerac, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award.
So this is where he just said, like, look, I got to go right now. And they said no. And so he just said, well, I'm going to go right here in the aisle? He gave ample warning. And they said, no,
yes.
Sit back down.
Yes.
Take your urine and back to your seat.
And he said, I am Gérard Depardieu. I am going to pee.
All right.
And so he did. He may not have actually said those words, but that was the
I mean, I have to I think about this a lot. I mean, I'm not, this is not a thing probably that I'm in danger of doing. But when you're on the plane and they do that jazz of making you go back to your seat, you know, when you got a whiz. And I wonder, like, what would happen if everybody just said, well, I'm just going to have to whiz myself right here in the seat then. If you just said, like, let me go or I'm going to whiz right here. I'm telling you, I'm incontinent. I've got an issue. I mean, because I seem to recall that they've had people busted, you know, for, like, creating a disturbance by, you know, urinating. And mm-hmm. so, but it seems like if you're giving them the option, you know, then it's sort of on them.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you can just not go to the bathroom.
That's true.
All right.
In a move signaling its intentions to become a major publishing force, Amazon announced this week it has signed Timothy Ferris, the hugely popular self-help author for men. The New York Times notes that the deal marks Amazon's most high-profile move in publishing to date, as the company hopes to build on its success with online retailing and sales from its e-book reader, the Kindle. Amazon has been publishing books for several years, but it has suggested in recent months it intends to concentrate more energy in that part of the business. In May, the company brought in Lawrence Kirschbaum, the longtime New York editor, to head their publishing division. Next spring, Amazon will release Ferris's latest work, The 4-Hour Chef, as a hardcover. Oh, he's the 4-hour guy.
Sure.
All of his books are 4-hour something. His first book, The 4-Hour Work Week, was like a New York Times bestseller.
Oh, I hate that guy.
And then he had The 4-Hour Body.
Yeah.
And now he's got to have has one that's going to be The 4-Hour Chef.
No, that guy annoys me.
Yeah, he's annoying. We don't like him. Abercrombie & Fitch is offering to pay Mike the Situation Sorrentino and his fellow Jersey Shore cast members so they will stop wearing the brand on the show. The clothing company says in a news release posted Tuesday, it's concerned that having Sorrentino seen in his clothing could cause significant damage to the company's image. Abercrombie says a connection to the situation goes against the aspirational nature of its brand. They're aspiring to clothe drunken frat boys, apparently, does not coalesce with the situation. And it may be distressing to their customers. The Ohio-based retailer says it has offered a substantial payment to Sorrentino and to producers of the MTV show, so he'll wear anything other than Abercrombie & Fitch.
Here's the thing about that guy and about Jersey Shore is I'm not like a Jersey Shore watcher, and I don't really care about them, like, as such. Like, in the overall scheme of my life, it's not like I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about them. But here's the thing that bugs me, and that Google has not been able to tell me. I can't figure out why that nickname. And I just want to know. I don't really care about him.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about the show. I just want to know how you would get that nickname.
I've wondered that myself.
And yet, I look it up. No one, and maybe this has changed since I last queried, but nowhere on Google can I find the answer. I cannot find from whence the name derives.
I do like the idea of that kind of naming convention, though, for a nickname, though. I would really like it if I could get a nickname like, you know, the Convocation. Or something like that. The Conflagration. Because it just sounds kind of, you know, it does make you think.
Well, it has that kind of the edge. Sort of.
Yeah, see.
Although you earlier were mocking our friend The Game.
That's true, I was. No, I was...
Just because you're gearing up for Dawn's Black Talk Friday?
Yes, okay. That's it. If you live in the small town of Forney, Texas...
Kill yourself now.
Where they recently allowed a precocious 11-year-old named Caroline Gonzalez to be mayor for a day, an honor she won by winning a contest on Facebook, then you may be a little bit concerned because she basically took her power of being mayor for a day and renamed the town's main street Justin Bieber Way.
Awesome. That's fantastic. We should totally do that here. Once, because Adams isn't going to run again. We should sell, like, to the highest bidder the chance to be mayor for a day.
Yeah.
And then put just the barest minimum of restrictions in place so you can't just totally wreck the whole place. But then, like, you can just do...
Spend any money, but you can, like, make some proclamations and you can maybe rename something.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I don't understand. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just sell the naming rights to our streets since we're so freaking broke around here? I mean, the city's got no money. I mean, Apparently, you can't fix anything. So, like, why don't we just... I mean, you know, no disrespect to, like, Cesar Chavez or whatever, but, like, why can't we, you know, can't we just take some of the other streets and just, start selling them off, you know, naming-wise?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, if we're going to eventually rename everything anyway.
Yeah, why not?
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Gonzalez told local Dallas-Fort Worth affiliate KDAF-TV the reasoning why she renamed their main street. I just really like Justin Bieber, and I thought it would be cool if we had a street in our town named after him.
No, she didn't know that's because he's dreamy. That's the specific reason.
So the town's regular mayor, Darren Rozelle, admitted he doesn't know who Justin Bieber is, but still invited him like down to visit and to see his street. Okay. And they did say that, unfortunately, they're going to take the street sign down as of Monday, August 22nd.
Okay.
So, sadly, it doesn't get to be named Justin Bieber way forever.
It is 12:55, so we have 3 minutes, Dawn.
Wow, that's hardly anything.
Pack as much information into that time as you possibly can.
Well, an 11-year-old boy called a German police emergency line to complain of forced labor after his mother told him to help clean the house. Police say the boy from Aachen has not been identified. He spoke to an officer via the 110 number, which is the equivalent of 911. They say he complained, "I have to work all day long. I haven't any free time."
I don't really know that Germans are in any position to complain about being made to do forced labor.
I know. His mother told the officer the boy kept threatening to call them, having repeatedly complained of having to do housework during school holidays. A transcript of the conversation, which was printed in local newspapers, revealed that the officer asked the boy to describe the kind of forced labor he was doing.
Well, it's the kind that Jews should be doing, obviously.
The boy replied he had to clean the house and the terrace. Asked if he knew what forced labor was, the boy said that he did, and the police officer asked to speak to his mother. She explained he had called after being asked to pick up paper from the floor and said he plays all day long, and when he's told to tidy up when he's done, he calls it forced labor. So hopefully there's like some beating involved after that.
Dawn Taylor who said that, by the way. Yes. Rick Emerson isn't saying that. We got 90 seconds left.
Three high school students could face criminal charges after allegedly passing out brownies laced with marijuana to 23 of their classmates at a summer band camp last week. Police say none of the students experienced any ill effects from the apparent pot brownie prank, but it could have ended badly. Police Sergeant Rob Schmidtke said, "Anytime anyone is given drugs or something else without their knowledge that could obviously be a health hazard, we won't let this slide. It could have been a very big deal." Police said they learned of the prank after one of the involved students told another one what they'd done, and that student, being a big snitch, told a police official. Schmidtke said he was unsure whether the brownies had been tested yet to confirm that they were indeed laced with marijuana, but based on what the students confessed to, he said, It could have been an interesting band practice.
Now, what is the thing with pot brownies, though? Now, are they more or less effective than if you were just to smoke it, let's say?
They're differently effective. They are as effective. It's just sort of a different sort of effect. It tends to take longer to come on, and it tends to last longer.
All right. Well, so that's okay. So it's a bit of a delayed. It's an incremental high.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to digest it, and then it has to go into your bloodstream, and that takes longer than getting something directly into your bloodstream through inhaling it into your lungs.
Do you ever get like those little pieces of a conversation, and you don't hear the whole thing, and you're like, what is that about? Like I don't think I told you this. But when I was coming back from Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, I was at McLaren Airport, which is the international airport there, and I'm walking by, and there's these two guys. They must have been. I mean, they had to have been 80 if they were a day. I mean, they were very, very, very elderly. Two guys standing there, like, out in sort of the greeting area at the gate at the airline. And as I walked by, one of the old guys, and they both looked like Hal Holbrook as Mark Twain. One of them said to the other, "It's called Magic the Gathering." And it's like, I so wanted to stop and just go, like, what are you talking about? Please to give me all the context here. No, but I just, this weekend I just heard somebody who I will not identify just say to somebody else, and that's why I use an atomizer for my pot. There you go. The end. And with that, ladies and gentlefolk, we bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, who also helped design part of the powertrain for the Chevy Volt. Buy one today, won't you please? Executive producer Bruce Agler and Chief of Staff Cheryl Kenneco with the Rick Emerson Show is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting episode of Legion of News. That is Thursday at noon. Till then, have a safe and satisfying Wednesday, won't you?